I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Masquerade, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the Samba man himself is Pete Dolphin.
Get down and get funky.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you with us. Of course, it's a new week. It's a new ramble. It could be a new dawn. We'll see at the end of the show.
New pants.
Well, for you, sir.
About time as well.
It was such an exciting weekend of football. I sold all of mine.
That's what you get for wearing all of them at once.
That's right. Now, before we get to proceedings, a quick mention of our new weekly mail shot that goes out every Friday, written by the always excellent Kelly Wells. That's a guarantee of the quality that you're going to be seeing. It features all the latest news and developments from Ramble headquarters, as well as giveaways and info on where to buy tickets to our much-coveted live shows and anything else out of the ordinary that we're up to. So don't bloody miss out. Go to thefootballramble.com to subscribe now. Right, gentlemen.
Right.
Let's get on with the show. Antonio Conte this week said that he was too experienced for Jose Mourinho's mind games.
I like that.
Nice.
Sidestepped it quite nicely, didn't he?
While also kind of making it a mind game. not even deliberately,
has
in
he
that
been,
sense.
Has he been mind-gamed back now?
I liked it because it was almost like a Jose Mourinho last roll of the dice. He did the, I'm sure we'll come on to it, but he did the old post-match interview after the United game saying that other teams don't play as good football, talking about Chelsea, allegedly, and then just thought, oh, what else have I got in my locker? This. Yeah. Last roll of dice, chuck it all in. It kind of tastes like, nope, not having that. I am not having that.
But is it a real insult to say to someone, well, the only reason why you're winning the league is because you're so good defensively?
Not really, is it? After the shambles I left in. Very impressive.
All right, well, we're gonna completely rearrange our back line just to show you, Jose.
Oi, let's see you win the league while not defending.
I bought David Luiz. Bearing in mind that Jose did have a very decent defence at Chelsea, and they were quite boring to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, he doesn't mind a bit of hypocrisy, though, does he? If anything, that adds spice to it.
Yeah. He sort of, it's fueled Jose Mourinho's hypocrisy.
I would carefully venture that hypocrisy is one of the cornerstones of modern football and has been for years.
It's kind of overrated as a stick to beat people with as well, because you can be a hypocrite and still be right.
Yeah, true. True. In theory, Jim.
Jim is right, I think. Well, okay. How would you attempt to derail Chelsea's title bid if you were given the opportunity, Jim?
Well, what I would do is, you know, like this modern phenomenon where you Google any footballer and the second result will be, say, I don't know, like N'Golo Kante, wife. Wife is always the second
one. Yeah, the suggested search term.
Yeah, every single time. Well, what I would do is I would do some research on the Chelsea wives, and I would set up an array of fake social media profiles for these ladies, and just throughout the season, just sort of casually dropped up John Terry a line here and there.
Genuinely sinister, this.
Just sow some seeds.
Well, just peaked on for this.
Yeah,
well, sow some seeds.
I've learned from the best.
Like this. What's really worrying me, ladies and gentlemen, is all the working out he's got on sheets of A4 in front of him.
I haven't finished.
Is it white to start with?
He's painted Pete into a corner. Pete's got nowhere to turn.
No. Wow.
So think about it, though. Like, just for example, Diego Costa. Diego Costa finds out about that. If, like, there's some sort of event and John Terry's, like, weirdly flirty towards his wife and she doesn't know why, Costa's going to be really annoyed at that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, he's going to maybe confront Terry because he's a bit of a hothead. Terry's going to go, well, she started it. And then she's going to go, what are you talking about? And Costa's going to go, you call her my wife, a liar. Season over. Just derailed.
It would work.
In the camp.
It's right. Controversial, but I fear it might be successful.
Blimey, all right.
I bet Reno wishes he thought of it anyway.
Yeah. Sam and Ezra is involved in my head somewhere down the line.
Probably.
Just wants in.
Yeah, Luke, what have you got?
I've got five. Marcus, pick a number from 1 to 5.
1.
How would you derail Chelsea's bid? You've gone for 1.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1 is bring in Stuart Pearce in any capacity. Pete, do you want to pick a number?
Can I have 3, please.
3. That is sign Nigel Kwasi out of retirement, who was most recently seen playing for Icelandic side Bolangarvik.
Nice.
Relegated.
In what year was that?
I think 2013, something like that. Yeah,
David Jones played in Iceland for a bit.
Kwasi's retired now at the age of 38, I think. Jim, do you want to have a go?
Yeah, I'll go. What numbers are left?
2, 4, and 5.
I'll go for 4.
4 is let Kevin Keegan come to a game as a guest and have a meet and greet with the manager.
While Mark Hughes watches on.
Yeah, none of you picked 2 or 5. 2 is let Tim Sherwood have a go at coaching for an hour unsupervised. And 5 is get Leicester to activate N'Golo Kante's buyback clause.
Yeah, okay.
Which probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, so any of them.
I think they're all good.
Yeah, any of them.
To be quite frank. Peter, what have you got?
I'd just keep it simple. I'd keep the psychology quite simple and just hack his Sonos.
Okay.
And just play.
Do you want me to explain to Marcus what a Sonos is? Sonos is like a sound bar you put in your house, and you can have speakers all around the house, and you can play music or any type of audio in any room. Pete, continue.
Yeah, that's it, really. And just play commentary from
that's
Jose
it,
Mourinho's.
Really? You've got to play something.
Well, no, and play Jose Mourinho's title winning commentary over the top of it.
Inspirational.
Yeah.
Inspirational.
No, not inspirational, because it'll upset Conte.
Just like in the night, quietly, so it seeps in, or just very
constantly.
Much
just weird times of the day. It's easily done. Bluetooth is quite easy to hack, I believe.
I've got a Bose equivalent of Sonos in my house. If you're listening, Bose, get in touch.
You've only got one?
Yeah, but you can give me an upgrade.
I've got an excellent pair of their headphones.
And what you can do is say you're sat. I mean, my flat's not really big, but if you had a big home, what you could do, you can sit there on your laptop in the spare room and hit the button on Spotify, for example, and turn it on in the speaker in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and it's brilliant because if you in theory, were to get some sort of black metal lined up and play it in the kitchen at full volume when your wife's cooking, it's very enjoyable. So I'm on board with this.
Laugh a minute round your house,
yeah,
isn't it?
For me.
For you.
Yeah. You don't like go that. Drinking anymore. Yeah, but just bother your wife.
But drinking your wife.
But taking Luke's alleged, lols and whatnot there.
Yeah.
Mourinho could do that. He could drive outside contests, or at least get somebody to do it, and then start playing the tunes or playing the
who's still on Moore's side? That's what I'm asking in the squad.
Well, I can imagine Conte being, if you had CCTV cameras around Conte's house, he's the sort of guy who breaks stuff. 100%.
Anger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if it
constantly
was to happen,
going down the tip with an iron and board on his arm.
I think you might be onto something now. I think you really could get inside his head.
Or just put his wallet in the fridge.
Yeah,
why? Constantly.
Why?
Because it confuses people.
Or is that it? Just that's why?
Like,
is the
why
exact
have I
reason?
Put that in the
Hang
fridge?
On. It confuses. But is this a well-known tactic?
I think it is. Yeah.
I reckon that would get in your head, Marcus.
It's the idea behind that is to make people think they're going mad.
I see.
Yeah.
Walls have been won on that.
Yeah.
Certainly. I would send Conte on a holiday to the Far East with Pete Donaldson.
That would do the trick.
And the reason is he always comes back a nearly broken man, doesn't he? Mm. He's jet-lagged, he's
I'll
got stomach upset, he's all over the place.
Because I drink every bloody night, Mark. Yeah. Right? It's not good for a person.
You missed the word uncontrollably.
if you want,
just control, I don't spill any.
And he also missed because it's the only way I can enjoy myself.
By forgetting.
But yeah. Pete, Marcus is on the side there. Obviously, it's normal to come back jet-lagged from a holiday, whatever. Mm-hmm. You always, almost always come back with a stomach complaint.
Yeah.
Because like whenever we
I'll eat anything out there though.
Yeah, when we come into the studio and you just got back from holiday, by and large, there's always a few Gaviscon type tablets and stuff dotted around.
Yeah, my mate Martin, who I'm going out to Hong Kong and Beijing with, he wants to go canoeing in Hong Kong. Mm. I'm like, I'm not up with me hip shots to be honest.
You shouldn't go to Hong Kong with a man called Martin.
Why not?
It's one of the golden rules.
But you should go to Japan with a man called Antonio.
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. Conte would come back and he would see stuff he wouldn't wanted to see. He would just derail him as a human being and thus the title bit.
But if you're on a budget, you could just get him to spend a week with Pete. It'll have to be in Japan.
And we'll just go down the Chinese restaurant or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way, you come back and your skin is grey. Like, actually grey.
Pallid. I'm going to use the word pallid, Jim.
Sallow.
Sallow, yeah. Fish white flesh puckered by the Highland breeze, as they say.
Indeed, yeah. I think Luke's got the points.
Thank you very much. Well, I'd like to dedicate those points to either Tim Sherwood, Stuart Pearce, Kevin Keegan, or N'Golo Kante.
Or Boz Corporation.
The elbows, yeah. Get in touch.
Indeed, yeah. Well, Chelsea, let's go to the Premier League, of course. Got a point away. At Burnley, it is a fortress, isn't it?
Yeah. It sure is.
Burnley, it's unbelievable.
We did say this trip would test Chelsea's credentials to the limit. I mean, Burnley at home are a fantastic side, aren't they?
They had Chelsea on the ropes at times.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing I love about Burnley at home because, you know, obviously they are very defensively committed and tight, but they have a go. Don't they?
Really,
it's not like they just sort of put 10 men behind the ball.
But even going 1-0 down early on, they didn't look fazed.
Oh, that's right. I absolutely agree with Jim on the two points to further add to that. One is they went a goal behind.
Yeah.
And two, I was watching that thinking, this is just a good game.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not a good game in terms of like the film 300. You know, it's not an absolute siege. This is a good end to end game. Yeah. You know, and that's an absolute testament to Burnley because Chelsea are 10 points top of the league.
Yeah.
Incredible, really.
Their number seven, whose name escapes me, but he had so much time and space in the box. He could have scored three goals himself.
Was that for Burnley?
But Gray.
Andre Gray, yeah. So did you say number seven?
Yeah, number seven.
I find it hard to understand the Geordie people sometimes.
Oh, sorry.
Pete's not a Geordie.
No, he's not.
But it might just be a wider point you're making. isolate perhaps some of our listeners.
No, Andre Gray's a good forward. He is a good forward. He's an absolute nuisance value, which is what you need in
well, Conte knew who he was because he mentioned him before the game, although he didn't know who Joe Barton was.
That's funny.
He probably does now, though.
Mind games.
Yeah. But I thought Barton gave a good account of himself.
Barton, considering that he's not played that much football in the last few months. And he's getting on as well. And he's
tailor-made for games like this, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably got a lot of stuff to take his mind off of.
Indeed. But when you say he's tailor-made for games like this, is he tailor-made for coming up against possibly the best midfielder in the league and easily the best side in the league and doing a ruddy good job?
Would you, Marcus, the other point about that on the Barton thing is I think Burnley, as a group of players, ran collectively the most they've run against a team in the Premier League this season.
I
think they're already among the hardest working teams in the country. Right. So for Barton to come in at his age, as you say, not playing an awful lot of football and contribute to that and not look obviously behind the times and off the pace is an incredible achievement.
It shows you how well they stick to their game plan as well, that they stepped it up when they absolutely had to and pulled off a fantastic result. And I kind of look back to when Burnley were in the Premier League before, because they played like this, didn't they? They played in this exact same way. Their home form was good and their away form wasn't so good. But they've stepped up that home form so much that they should comfortably and easily stay up and have a fantastic season.
Well,
the one worry for me is if the wheels are going to come off, it will happen now, because the next four league games are all away games, which they've struggled with. So that's Hull and Swansea, then Liverpool and Sunderland, and then they've got Spurs at home after that. Now, you'd think they might struggle against Liverpool, although, you know, we've seen that they can be got at. But they've got to look at Hull, Swansea and Sunderland as potential away wins. They have to start picking up some of those. Because if they want to stay in the Premier League long term, you know, you've got to work out how to do that.
It's not a long term strategy, is it, what they're doing?
No.
I agree. Yeah.
They are quite pragmatic, though, because they knew that there was going to be a battleground in the centre of midfield. And they just bypassed it by just playing some fairly decent mid-range balls. I thought they were fantastic.
I think they did all the basic stuff properly. I mean, they rotated the fouls around. They shared out the yellow cards when they needed to. I mean, they only had about 28% possession or something, but they made it count. And I think they knew. One of the impressive things was, I think they knew that in order to get something out of the game, they were going to need to score. And if they were going to score, it would have probably come from a set piece, which it did. But the impressive thing was they went goal down, not just at any point, they went a goal down very early. Mm-hmm. And then they still didn't let their heads drop. They still worked hard and got what they needed to do.
Apparently it was the first time in roughly 4 years Chelsea have conceded from a direct free kick.
I read that. Wow. It's a fantastic stat.
Isn't that quite something?
I think it's the first time.
It was a decent free kick.
One of the free kicks I've seen. I think it's the first time Courtois conceded a goal direct from a free kick either in his career or in the Premier League.
Wow.
In England, yeah.
He's got some range on him as well, and he only, you know,
got his hands to it.
He's close to getting it.
But if you think about that, obviously we've mentioned Barton, the Burnley performance. Brady's not been there that long. Mm. He's slotted in. And Ashley Westwood as well, stepping up from Aston Villa, from the Championship. And obviously Villa were dreadful. I can't remember how long Westwood's been there, but he stepped up certainly to that level against Chelsea. It shows you that Dyche can get performances out of his players quickly, which is half the battle really for managers, isn't it?
I thought Westwood could have been subbed off, actually. I thought he was struggling badly towards the end.
But towards the end, but I mean, this is a man who...
I'm not taking the overall performance.
You know. But Burnley, 97% of their points this season have been at home. They do... I sort of look at that league table.
Just got one point in the road, haven't they?
Yeah. I look at the league table, and obviously Burnley, I think, a 12th at the moment. They're threatening top half. And you think to yourself... If you sorted out that away performance, you'd have a bloody good go at that. You could get up to the Europa League.
It's crazy the difference, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they're 2 points off ninth, Burnley.
Yeah.
I mean, top half, I don't think they will finish in the top half purely because of this road form and what Jim just said about the away games they've got coming up. But, I mean, 12th now. I mean, if they finish 12th, that'd be an incredible achievement. Because what I like about that is they've learnt the lessons from last time.
Mm. Yeah.
And Sean Dyche is... Clearly, for all his faults, is clearly a guy who can soak up information and he's a bit of a sponge and they've improved and he's learnt his lessons. They've gone down, no mucking about, straight back up again as soon as possible, and they've learnt the lessons and they've applied them to the Premier League this season. And let's be honest, there are a lot of fairly poor teams defensively in the Premier League. Mm. So he would have known that if we keep it solid and tight and work really hard at home, we just need to score a goal. We just need to get a goal probably. Want two goals max and we'll be fine. And that's what they've done. And there are more than three teams who are worse than Burnley in the Premier League this season, and that's why they'll
easily,
say that.
Easily. And I think that the job that Dyche has done there cannot be stated enough. What an amazing job to take them into the Premier League. That is in itself enough of a great job. But to really, this Burnley side could become... Obviously, you never know the Premier League and teams change and wheels
come off.
Could
be the new Stoke, couldn't they?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. You know, I mean, you see it in
the start of your thunder, haven't I? Sorry about that.
No, not at all. You've added to it.
But you look at
somebody like even a Charlton. You know, Kerbishley established them as a Premier League side. Then of course he left and they went away. But with Burnley and the riches of the Premier League, and
that's a really nice way of saying they were horrifically relegated and now they're really struggling. They just went away.
It's like explaining
to like your child where their mum's gone. Mm. Yeah, she's left, but she. She went away.
She's gone to live on a farm.
Your administrative fortitude went away, and you're constantly in trouble.
That's how I describe Sven's career after Man City.
He went away.
It went away.
Yeah, I think it was Man City, the last big job. Anyway, let's not talk about him.
Nobody wanted to.
Yeah, none of us need to say that.
Emphatically your decision.
That's an inner monologue you need to, give yourself.
Have a lot more.
He's a pioneer, went to China before everybody else. Where was I? Burnley, yes.
Yeah, you made that sound like he discovered China.
The Sven dynasty.
Stop it!
Burnley, that he's doing, he is nearly established them as a Premier League side. Mm. If they stay up this season and they do the same again, then they are a regular fixture. And it's incredible, the budget he's done it with, and also the size of the club. I was up at Burnley's training ground recently, and to just give you an idea... of the operation.
They didn't throw me out.
They welcomed me. Right? They knew who I was. The latter is certainly not true. But if you go to a lot of Premier League grounds, or not grounds, training grounds, as soon as you get anywhere near the vicinity, two ex-SAS members are immediately straight on you. Do you know what I mean? You can get nowhere near. It is like a fortress, really.
Mm. You do carry a sabre a lot of the time, though, Marcus.
I've experienced what Marcus has described there at Man City, Aston Villa, at Arsenal, at Fulham even, when they're in the Premier League. So I completely agree.
Yeah, and so to Burnley... We got to the end of the driveway, there was the car park, and I was looking around looking for a reception or a building, and there was an old fella with a high-vis jacket sweeping away rainwater, and I said, hello chap, where's
Pete's childhood.
sweeping away a rainwater.
And, and it hadn't rained for days.
Hell of a player.
And, it hadn't rained for days in Burnley.
Yeah, it was currently raining. I said, do you want to wait until that finishes?
Yeah.
And I said, where's reception? And he went,
under this rainwater.
He went, well, it's me, actually. And I went, okay. And he just went, just go in the bungalow. I think one or two are already in there, kind of thing. And I said, this is incredible.
Didn't even check in.
Shows you what kind of operation it is. So it's remarkable, really, to have a club like that in the Prem.
I think if there's anything that sums up the difference between Burnley and Chelsea, it's that at the game over the weekend, the ball went on the roof.
Yeah.
You're not getting that at any other Premier League ground, are you?
It's great.
Are you suggesting that as diligent as Burnley are on the field with their work, they're not as diligent off the field?
Well, no, I'm saying that there's a lovely down-to-earth feel there.
Okay, that's nice.
Are you welcoming a security incident, Burnley, the training ground?
Just saying, if you want to go up to a trip, no, don't.
Well, you can't now, because as soon as I hear this, it's going to be tightened up.
Well, Marcus Speller got in. Yeah. With his crazy pranks. Let's move on, shall we, to Swansea 2, Leicester City 0. Another win for Clement, or Clement.
Yeah.
He's a proper geezer, isn't he? He's certainly not a Clement.
He's like an unlobotomised Tim Sherwood.
I like that.
If that procedure was reversible on Tim Sherwood, you'd get Paul Clement.
Yeah. I would have very well travelled.
Yeah.
You know, look at the clubs that he's been involved with. It is quite remarkable.
I thought this was a remarkable game, just as far as the sheer state that Leicester are in. Allow me to use a moving analogy to explain this. Mm-hmm. On Saturday night, I think on ITV 2 or 3, there was a late 90s movie on, starring Josh Hartnett, called The Faculty. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
For those who haven't seen it, I think it's like a rehashing of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that. Basically, this alien presence comes to a small town, rural American school, and takes over the faculty, like what they call in the US the faculty, like the staff and the teachers, through the back door. And they all become these drones with who are dead behind the eyes and don't really do anything apart from them. Their only real sort of ambition in life when they've been indoctrinated is to infect more people, i.e. taken over the world through the back door with this alien invasion. It's much like Leicester if you substitute the faculty for Leicester and the infection for the Championship.
Mm-hmm. That really is.
It is absolutely remarkable what is happening. Mm. Gary Neville said something a couple of weeks ago, which was, they don't look angry. One of the things is they don't look angry. Yeah. They just look a little bit confused and hurt. Hurt, and also just utterly convinced that this is their destiny.
Yeah.
And nothing I saw on Sunday made me think any differently.
I mean, they've not scored a Premier League goal in 2017, and this is their longest run without a top-flight goal ever.
Ten hours, I think.
That's insane, isn't it? I mean, obviously Leicester aren't, you know, they're a team that have been up and down throughout the years in the Premier League, so they've had difficult runs, and this is as bad as it's ever been for them while they're the holding champions. And we've said this before so many times, but I can't get my head around their inability to influence their own destiny. As you say, it does seem like they're just sleepwalking towards
it. It's not even easing off, though. I mean, Ranieri sort of said that he's too loyal to his players. I think the club's too loyal to Ranieri, to be honest.
I was saying the same to Jim before we came in.
He's not getting paid for the performance that happened last season. He's getting paid for the performance now, and I do get the feeling that when they get dumped, probably unceremoniously, out of the Champions League next week or this week, it's going to be all over for him. Because they have to make a change, because they're just so... It's just direction. They're just sleepwalking towards the Champions League.
I'll tell you something which is absolutely fascinating. I was saying to Jim when we were talking about this earlier. The back five against Swansea was the exact back five which won the Premier League. Mm. Schmeichel, Fuchs, Huth, Morgan and Simpson.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll look at Schmeichel. I mean, he's a consistently decent goalkeeper. He's got incredible genes. He's been excellent for a long time. And he's just beaten at his near post. Yeah.
By a left back.
Yeah.
I mean, given that we should probably give some credit to Swansea, given that Leicester are beaten by everyone these days, it's not a huge surprise. But I did say a number of weeks ago that I thought Martin Olsen was a good signing for Swansea. He's an experienced, athletic operator at this level, and I know he's been relegated a couple of times, but he's a good player. And Tom Carroll, who, by the way, didn't have his best game against Leicester, but he just does the most sensible stuff all the time. Yeah. There's nothing wrong. Like Mark Twain famously said, you're never wrong if you do the right thing. Tom Carroll always does the right thing with the ball. He doesn't care if it's a 3-yard pass or whatever. He'll do it. Right. And even when he doesn't have an outstanding game, he's still just a reliable presence, which is exactly what Swansea needed. And as soon as I like the fact with Paul Clement, they look a lot more organised, but I also like the fact that as soon as he took that job, he thought, what sort of player do I need? That sort of player.
Yep.
Where can I get him from? There. And just went about it straight away.
You can to a certain extent determine the ability you have, but often
that kind of goes with just who you are and your genetic makeup. But you can certainly influence the decisions you make 100% of the time. And as you say, with someone like Tom Carroll, he just does that. You know, the simple things that he does so well, you know, that is to have a player like that. And you look at Leicester, the amount of clips that you saw in the highlights of Vardy not slipping whoever it was through, or just the simple stuff.
Vardy's become one of the greediest players in the Premier League.
Yeah,
he's panic. It's panic, isn't it?
I think he's believing his own hype.
He's trying to get his legacy back, I think. Yeah, he's gone through a run bit of form, and he's just trying way too hard and all the thinking stuff.
Why has Ranieri taken Ogazaki out the side? Mm. I know he's played a bit, but there's a guy who was in that championship winning side. Didn't always start, but he did a lot of the time. I think you should give him more of a go.
Well, he and Ajoa as well, because Ajoa is very good at digging out a goal when you really need it from a set piece or something like that, as is Okazaki, and that's exactly what he's not going for. So he needs to mix it up. He has said this week, hasn't he, I've got too much faith in these players. I'm sure he will from now on. But if you look at their running, again, they've got Millwall next. That's a kind of a strange one. Even if they go out of that, I don't think that will have a huge bearing. But then there's Sevilla away, Liverpool at home, Hull at home, then Arsenal away and Sevilla again. So I think a bad result against Sevilla and losing that whole game, and he's toast. I think that will be where it.
You think that's
where it goes? Because
I don't normally sort of encourage the old firing of a manager, and it's like a knee jerk. But in this case, I think I like Ranieri. The thing he's achieved is amazing, and he'll always be remembered for that.
It's such a shame we're now talking about this.
But I think I don't see any other option. I think he's too nice. I think and that was working well when they're all confident and they're winning games. I just don't see Ranieri as a guy who's going to go in there. I reckon he's probably tried every single other tactic than giving them a proper kick up the arse, because I don't think he's capable of doing that, because he's a nice guy and he's old and he's probably a little bit more chilled out. Because I think generally people chill out as they get older. So it might be the only option left for them to find a roll of the dice to try and get a new manager in. But I sort of agree with what Pete said. I think, Jim, what you've described, I think, will be too late for them. And I think if they are going to do it, if they get royally hammered by Sevilla this week, which I think is possible, by the way, because as you said, Marcus, Sampaoli's done a great job there, I think then that might be the time to give them the bullet, because they're going to be too late otherwise. And at this stage of the season, more than any other, it's all about momentum.
I wonder if actually, sorry, Marcus, if the Champions League is what's keeping him in a job. If they're waiting to see how he does there. So if that first game isn't a disaster, then maybe that'll be a stay of execution. Who knows? But it's, as you say, Marcus, it's just really sad that we're having this conversation at all.
And that's it. Because if he gets sacked, the history books will say, yeah, he's won the league, obviously. So his name will always be in lights at Leicester City, no matter what happens. And then the next season, he got sacked. And actually, I know I'm a neutral. I do hope Leicester stay up. And I hope Ranieri keeps them up, and then maybe he leaves.
Every time you sort of think about, like, sort of Ranieri needs to get the bullet, it's been too bad for too long, and he clearly can't turn it round. Every Leicester fan in the back of their mind is going, but something has to change, because you can't just go, oh, well, this is good enough, we can go down and we can... And you're all right, financially, they'll be able to take it. There's a lot of money in the Championship now, but that's not good enough for a Premier League winner.
I'm only talking about it... I'll take your point, and when I talk about Ranieri being fired, I'm only talking about that from the point of view of assuming that Leicester care about their Premier League status more than anything else. If they want to say, well, do you know what? We're giving Ranieri a contract. Yeah. He wants the Premier League. If he gets... Because I think what Swansea said to Paul Clement was, if you get relegated, you'll still have a job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We believe in you. We believe in your experience and what you could go on to achieve. If they've said that to Ranieri, if you go down the Championship, fine, you'll still have a job. Then that's fine. Yeah. But all I'm assuming is that their Premier League status is the most important thing to them. And if that's the case, then I can't see any other way they're going to preserve their Premier League status than to do that. But their problem is their momentum. And the performances, not just the results, the performances are horrendously bad. Horrendous.
As soon as that first goal went in, there was just so much inevitability. Everyone's shoulders just went down. And
but that's
heads
the story
went down.
Of the season, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Deary me, we're going to talk more Premier League after this.
So good. Very good. Very good. So good.
TheFootballRamble.com. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we go to the Premier League, Pete Donaldson looks like he's got some emails in his hand.
I always forget that we're doing emails this early. Mm. Pleasure, though.
You were holding them as well.
I know.
Should have been an indicator.
Cradling them. We were talking about the performances of Leicester City a little earlier on, just before the break. It's quite an interesting one, really. I'm sure this has been discussed before in the press, but David Provan's been doing some shuffling about the internet, and he says, I think Kante might be the first player to win back-to-back Premier League titles with different clubs. I think that's true, isn't it?
Or I don't know.
Was it not Mark Schwarzer?
I know that... Mark Schwarzer made the...
But he never got a medal.
Appearances, yeah. Right. You know, I know that the last team to get relegated the year after winning the Premier, the top flight, was in 1938.
Nice.
And it was Man City, I think.
That's lovely. Well, from his extensive research, Googled it at least twice, he says, I can find six players who have won it twice, but with seasons in between them. Players who won it with two different clubs. There's some lovely names in here. I just want to mention some
Henningberg?
Henningberg was...
Henningberg has won, yes. Blackburn and Man United in 94-95.
Van
then
Persie?
98, then 99. Yeah. With a season in between.
Oh, just one season. Oh, sorry, okay. Leave
me out of it. I think so, anyway. Yeah. Colo Torre with Arsenal and Man City. We've got Ashley Cole, Gail Clichy, Carlos Tevez, Man United, Man City. He says, I'm sure this will get a mention as I know how much Pete loves a stat. So have that. Let's move on to...
By the way, Googling twice is the only minimum standard we expect for research.
Yeah, even if it's the exact same wording. So
we haven't got all day.
We did quite a lot of players who'd... Ramble listeners who played at the highest level last week, so we're going to ease off on those a little bit. But hi, guys. A slight move from the original question, but as you see, I am the club secretary at AFC Rushton & Diamonds.
Oh, nice.
A Step 4 football club. I'm also a board member, and he puts in inverted commas, elected.
Yeah. Okay.
Not sure if this could be added to the list, but at least his email isn't too long for Pete. James Waller, club secretary, AFC Rushton & Diamonds. I tried to...
Good to see what rigorous standard you've got in place, mate.
I know. Yeah. Two of our emails in and says he likes me.
He works for the club. Have we opened up another category? Who works at the highest level at a club?
No, we're definitely not doing that.
All right, okay.
But I chatted to Alastair Bayliss of Margate FC in my other job as a radio person over the weekend. They were playing Hampton and Richmond Borough, and I also got to talk to Hampton and Richmond Borough's manager. Mm-hmm. His name is Martin Tyler. I started speaking to him, realised about 2 seconds in, it's Martin Tyler.
That's right. Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, this has gone well. Why did my producer tell me this? Oh, good. But they got a win. Margate having a tough time in the rhyme.
I've just realised AFC Rushton & Diamonds are the Phoenix club set up when Rushton & Diamonds, the old side, went to the wall, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right, good.
Huge.
Good to hear.
Rushton & Diamonds are always the
team. Not good to hear they went to the wall, good to hear they've got to come back.
They're back and better. Yeah. Do love the term Phoenix club.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes it sound more exciting than it is. Yeah. People scrabbling around buying filing cabinets. We need a filing cabinet, guys, for this new club.
Quickly, we need to make something from this ash.
But you rummaging around in filing cabinets is very much in your future, Pete Dawson.
Well, the bins outside offices. Right. Hello to James. We were talking about dad's behaviour at football grounds last week.
See this being a bit of a trope as
well. Yeah, I do like this. I thought you might like to hear about my own father's behaviour. Normally, a calm and...
Nothing good starts from that.
Normally a calm and collected individual, I've only managed to get him to shout at me twice in 24 years.
Okay.
Amazing. I'd love a bit of that in my house.
It must be the exceptional son.
Me and my dad had a cracking argument this afternoon about Dvorak, the creator of the keyboard, Dvorak, versus Dvorak, the pronunciation of the classical music man. Either way, a particularly bad Portsmouth performance caused my dad to unleash 90 minutes of pent-up anger by shouting, oh, for fuck's sake, and kicking the empty plastic chair in front of him on the full-time whistle. He instantly became panicked and insisted we flee the ground before security took him in. And the next week he called me to let me know that he called the club, insisting to the woman on the phone he'd tripped and his foot had fallen through it, and then offered to pay for the seat.
Oh,
that's sweet, isn't it?
That is nice.
Thank you, James, for that one. Hello, Ramblers. Hope all is well. This is from Sam. I thoroughly enjoyed the Chef Kikuki story on last week's previous show. That guy's name still doesn't seem right to me.
No.
You know he lives in Newcastle.
It's pronounced in a different way than you'd expect.
Yeah.
That's the problem, I think.
And it instantly reminded me of my favourite football anecdote of all time and another tale involving a grubby dad at the football. It comes from a column that the ever-excellent Harry Pearson wrote for The Guardian in August 2007. Here it is in full. A friend of mine recalls an afternoon in the Bob End at Ayrton Park during which the bloke sitting in front of him aimed a torrent of abuse at a young Middlesbrough midfielder. The fact that the youngster had red hair was a particular source of vexation to the man. At one point, he ended a fulminating diatribe by roaring, "Next time you show yourself in public, wear yourself a hat, you ginger twat." Friend had had enough. "You can't call him that," he told the man. The man looked round, his face bore a look of vindictive triumph. "I'll call him what I like," he snarled. "I'm his father." Fantastic. Sam from London. That's nice. A wonderful bit of cribbing from The Guardian.
a wonderful missive.
And it reminds me slightly of... It was a local match, shall we say.
Right.
And my mate was...
Like
playing.
Local opinions.
Indeed. And my mate was playing for this side. I think there was sort of semi-pro kind of level. And he played for the
the other side before, so he was up against his old team. And a few of us went along to watch him. And, of course, some of the fans were giving him a bit of stick, just a bit of laugh and whatnot. And they were shouting away. And there was a little group of us and a chap who was stood right next to this fan. And they were giving him plenty.
Yeah.
And the old man stood up when one of them said, "Are you effing bastard?" And he went, "Many things he is, but a bastard he isn't. As you know, I'm his father." He let so much go. That's actually incorrect.
They say at those type of events, you never know who you're standing near. You've got to be careful.
I also love many things he is. Yeah. There's a lot of valid many criticism, but yeah. You know, his parents are just sound.
I've got a list myself.
And you've covered most of it.
Yeah. You won't believe what he did when he was 12.
Oh, dear. Back to the Premier League, though. Southampton with a wonderful away win at Sunderland. Sunderland won 4-0 away from home and then lose 4-0.
Yeah, the quote of the weekend has got to come from David Moyes.
David Moyes, who
simply said, "We didn't play as well as we did last week."
He is astute.
Yeah, there's an eight-goal swing there, Dave. Yeah.
It's literally a yin and yang performance there, isn't it? Yeah. It's an inverse 4-0.
I can imagine him going back into the changing room after the game, going, "I know it's too good to be true. Yeah. I knew you were tricking me.
We've used all our goals up.
You set a bastard.
Yeah. Big Manolo Gabbiadini.
Yeah. Oh, he's
settling.
Before he arrived, a great Hartley Pudlian once said, "I don't think it's the player Southampton needs."
Oh, really? Well, the thing is, he's one of these players who's got a bit of a reputation as not getting perhaps as many goals as he should do in his career.
He's only brought him 10 twice.
Well, the difference now, Pete, is he started punching balls into the net.
he's
probably thought to himself, "That's what I could do. Yeah. That's what I'll do." Yeah.
Innovative.
Yeah. Up until now, I've only been using my feet and my head.
Yeah, they don't let you handball it in.
The second goal, though, wow.
Yeah, that was really, really special. You can't deny that one.
Yeah.
He's got a punch goal. Sanchez got his punch, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Pretty much. Well, sort of a punch. But I think that goal was, despite what everyone says, I personally think that goal was probably okay.
Well, really? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I thought that as well because it just rebounded and he couldn't. Because I'm massively biased. And also because it just bounced off his hand, didn't it? And it was sort of, his hand was just there. It wasn't the
thing. Whatever everyone says, the laws, which I've cribbed and got in front of me here, the FIFA law handling the ball states explicitly, handling the ball involves a deliberate act of a player making contact with the ball or his hand or up with his hand or arm. He didn't make a deliberate act to handball it. If you're a defender and you're making yourself bigger to stop a cross or something and it hits your hand, to me, that's a deliberate act.
Yeah.
If you are running in full pelt 100 mile an hour to follow in on the ball and it bobbles up and hits your hand, it's very unfortunate. It's like Howard Webb said, really, really unlucky for Hull. But for me, I can't see that as being a handball. But anyway, Gabbiadini...
If you hack a Sonos.
Gabbiadini definitely did handball the first one, but the second one you cannot deny.
Yeah. There's another great one at the weekend, wasn't it? It was Sunderland, wasn't it? It was, what's his name? Kasri?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he basically punched it in to try and get a sort of consolation punch. Gabbiadini can do it!
Yeah. All the punches.
Yeah. Better news for Sunderland's players, though, is Moyes is taking them to New York on a bonding trip.
Oh, I thought he'd already taken them.
No, I don't think he has.
No, it's going. Right.
Because they have a week off because of the cup. Okay,
I guess he's figured, well, you know, taking them to a factory didn't work. So maybe a break in one of the best cities on earth will do it. Yeah. It seems to me they'd be better off training, but, what do I know?
Well, apparently...
How's it all going? Yeah, this week we're doing white water rafting. And,
in New York?
Yeah, and then we're going to volunteer at a soup kitchen. And, then it's pottery and paintball next week. Any training?
Nah.
Yeah. David doesn't really like it.
Well, apparently, take to see New York Red Bulls. This is the league that our striker failed in.
Well, apparently they're going to take in some basketball and ice hockey.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Oh. So just maybe they'll get good at that spot.
But
spots.
Indeed. Sunderland have Everton away, Man City at home, and then winnable games in Middlesbrough, Burnley, Watford and Leicester.
Well, one of their problems, or they have many problems against Southampton, I guess, but one of them was that Defoe was just... I don't think Defoe had a single shot.
Yeah.
They need to get the ball to Defoe as often as they can. He's the only chance they've got. And Southampton were good and richly deserved their win, but so disappointing for those fans to do that at home after beating... I mean, it shows you how bad Crystal Palace are, by the way.
Yeah.
But having doing that away from home and then coming back to their own patch and just absolutely stinking the place out. But only 5 points separate the bottom six teams now. It's exciting down there.
Yeah.
Very exciting. It's a good relegation scrap, even if the top of the table is looking pretty much sewn up already. But the fourth goal, I know the horse is bolted by that point, but it was very, very sloppy in Sunderland. And they left Southampton a lot of space throughout the whole game. And that,
you know, that only really happens if players aren't committed enough or they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Like, you look at Sunderland and you think, what is their style? Because it seems to be losing.
Oh, yeah, there's no style there. But, I mean, you say the top of the league sign up. I mean, there's 2 points separating five or six at the top
well,
of
I mean,
the Chelsea, the Chelsea thing. Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of that, Luke Moore. Liverpool beat Spurs 2-0. Liverpool did miss Mane while he was away.
Turns out.
Even though he did play against Hull. But he didn't look back in the swing of things.
No,
and,
he didn't.
But he certainly did there. I mean, they look like they're much more thrust with him up there.
I've always been a fan of Mane. I think he's a good player, and I think he was a good signing for Liverpool. But I can't believe how much of a difference he's made.
It's amazing.
I think it was probably tempered by the fact that Spurs had an off day. I mean, their record away from home against good teams is actually quite poor. Mm. But that aside, Mane was absolutely fantastic. And someone said to me the other week, I forget who it was now. It wasn't one of you guys. Someone said to me, the thing about Mane is it goes
all
on...
other friends.
Yeah, but not friends. just shouting at me in the street. Said that Mane, one thing that goes under the radar about Mane is he's like a really nasty player as well. He's really competitive. Right. And I think that's probably a little bit of what Liverpool need. But I thought they were really, really good against Spurs. The first half alone, they could have been out of sight.
Yeah. Mm. It reminded me of the Man City game in that they looked a little bit rattled and overwhelmed by the press. Obviously, they turned it around against City, but they didn't manage it at the weekend.
Well, Spurs have got like three pretty inconsequential matches until they get to... back in the Premier League next Sunday, isn't it? So, like, they've got a busy couple of weeks.
They have a situation with their form away from home against big teams. They concede the first goal a lot. They obviously went down 2-0 to Liverpool. They drew with 2-2 at Man City. They conceded the first goal there. They lost 1-0 to Man United at Old Trafford. They drew 1-1 against Arsenal. They conceded the first goal there as well. Everton on the first day, they conceded the first goal at Goodison Park and drew 1-1 in the end. And the only big game away from home they haven't conceded the first goal is at Stamford Bridge, where Christian Eriksen scored an early goal, but they lost that anyway. Mm. So their away record against big teams is poor. I think it's one win out of 15 under Pochettino. But Pochettino, it's easy to forget, has only been there not even 3 years yet. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the club that they were before he came along, they're a club with direction and purpose. And he's sort of it's probably a bit of a stretch to say he's revolutionised the club because they haven't actually won anything yet. But you know what I mean.
He's overhauled it, in the right direction.
And it's a young squad and they look like they enjoy playing together, and Spurs could and hopefully will, for their sake, keep those players. They could finish second.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind what Chelsea have done, that would be a great.
It would have been a decent time to take those points, though, especially with Chelsea dropping two.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought they should have made more of Lucas playing centre half for Liverpool. They didn't. When I saw that, I thought, oh, Spurs are really going to lick their lips there. Not that Lucas is a bad player or anything, but he's not normally one of their starting centre halves for Liverpool.
But it was Spurs who were making the mistakes, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Alderweireld and Dyer as well. They didn't look quite at the races, but there we are. Manchester United, only 2 points behind Spurs. Liverpool, of course, are off to La Manga in Spain as we move into this little period without any Premier League football. Yeah. La Manga, the place where nothing bad ever happens involving football teams.
No.
Well, especially Leicester. Yeah. Liverpool must be really chuffed to have hardly any games now after playing like 400 games in a week, getting bombed out of every competition. Well, it's all right, though, because you can have March off if you want. Yeah. Oh, cheers.
But at least they ended with a high, though. West Ham drew with West Brom. Slaven Bilic was a very angry man. He took his frustration out on a TV mic during the match.
He sort of upturned it with a smile Slammed on his face. I didn't think it was particularly violent. I didn't think it was particularly done with anger in his soul.
Peter,
I thought it was quite playful.
If I walked over to your microphone now and threw it on the ground, slammed
the
it.
The listeners would be very pleased with that.
You would want me banished from the studio.
Say again?
You would want me banished from the studio.
It's not my studio, I don't care.
Bilic can't do that.
No, I think he was very, very frustrated with some questionable refereeing decisions. Although the one he seemed to be most annoyed about was the Antonio foul on the goalkeeper, which was obviously a foul.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was a bit of confusion initially because I think he might have thought it was given for offside when he was behind the goalkeeper. That wouldn't have been offside, I don't think.
No.
I don't think. But it was a foul on the goalkeeper.
Yeah, that was the right call all day long.
But he was fuming after the game as well. Bilic said something like, I think it was Michael Oliver who was the referee, wasn't he? Bilic said something like, it's nothing personal, but I thought he was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
It's
like,
yeah, this family should be disappointed.
Yeah. But I love that, combined with the whole microphone thing. He was like a wrestler, just really angry.
He's got a bit of that about him, Bilic, I think.
He certainly does, yeah. Luke, you mentioned something about Lanzini needing to step up a little bit more, or hoping that he might do. And he got a nice one, because we know he can do it.
Well, yeah, but initially when the Piatt left, I said that Lanzini might find a bit of room to sort of flourish now. And then, I mean, as if Bilic was openly mocking me, he just wasn't picking him. But he did pick him at the weekend, and he scored a great goal, and I think he played quite well. I think West Ham look okay now. I think they look pretty good.
Fine.
This game is decent. I mean, West Brom are an underrated team as well. These are two teams who are fairly decent. So a draw was probably a fair result.
Well, the Baggies, they're on course for their best points tally in the Prem. They racked up 49 points only a few years ago, actually, and are currently on 37. It'd be great for them if they could beat the 50-point barrier.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say Gareth McCauley likes a towering header?
That was Johnny Evans scored that, didn't he?
Gareth McCauley. No, McCauley was given it. I think it actually came off McCauley's head.
But it's Evans.
That's like the most West Brom way to score a goal. Yeah. Yeah. Two players effectively headering it at once.
I saw Andy Brassel refer to Gareth McCauley as the most dangerous centre-back in the Premier League in the opposition penalty area today.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's obviously I think he's a good player as
Would you say he was the Northern Irish Sergio Ramos?
I wouldn't say that, no.
Okay.
Doesn't get anywhere near enough red cards for that.
But, Steve Bruce. Yeah, right.
But, the West Brom thing is interesting because Nasir Chudley appears to be the only player in the same postcode as a Flair player.
Yeah.
And like, I get the impression he feels like he has to do a lot more tricks than is necessary just to keep the quota up a bit.
Lovely little shuffle for the goal.
Yeah, it was, exactly, yeah.
Did you not put Chris Brunt up there?
I probably wouldn't. He's got a wand of a left foot, but he's not really skillful.
It's more of a hammer than a wand, isn't it?
It is.
Old Brunty.
Yeah, but the thing about, that's interesting. It's an interesting.
Bear the brunt of that.
You stumbled across, that wasn't worth it. Thanks. You stumbled across something there because his left foot is very, very dexterous and very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, he's not really that skillful.
No.
It's like when you hear about Gary Lineker saying that Diego Maradona's like left foot was so remarkably good. He could always mould the ball, move the ball, like he could control it like it was a hand, basically.
Right.
He was so dexterous with it. But presumably Maradona could also kick the ball really hard because his technique was good. But Brunt, I'm not comparing Brunt to Maradona, by the way.
Well, you
just are, yeah.
But like Brunt's got
said that this is the day that this happened.
Brunt's got the powerful end. It's like Tom Huddleston, right? He's got the powerful end of the spectrum and the dexterous touch, but they don't really seem to be skillful players, do they?
Well, obviously,
maybe he just needs to be told that he is.
Like, you brought Brunt into this. I was Team Chadley all day long.
what you're describing is two very different players, and then you're isating one part of their footballer makeup.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, where is the disconnect between being very, very skillful with a foot, as in your control and your touch is really good, and your technique is so good, you can strike the ball so well? Why does that not always translate into being quite skillful?
Would Chris Brunt get in Carter 95?
Don't answer that now.
Would he get his own?
Say what you're about to say before Pete said that.
Right, okay, I will. Because take Brunt and a more sort of skillful player. Brunt's not a dribbler. He's not pacey, particularly.
The way he
uses the ball, he doesn't think that. Tom Huddleston, he thinks to himself, why would I run 10 yards and then pass it? I can just ping it now.
Yeah, true. True.
What came first, the hammer or the touch?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
The hammer or the tickle?
We have to mention before moving on from West Brom about Hughes and Pulis at it again. Obviously, it was a bit of a fallout over the Berardino business, and now Hughes has accused Pulis of calling Stoke defender Ryan Shawcross a loser.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
When leaving a voicemail,
we were discussing this earlier, and the explanation from Pulis is amazing. Mm. It's like, I'm going to try and find it. You guys wanted to feel for
Pulis
a bit.
Pulis said that it's been spun horribly, and he was saying that he phoned Shawcross and he said that he was using the word loser in the context of Shawcross has never been a loser. That's what he was saying.
What?
Up until now.
Yeah, that's exactly why it was so strange.
I think he was saying you can still be a winner even if you've lost the game.
Right.
Because strange thing to leave on a voicemail.
Well, you don't know the relationship he's got with him.
So
could be a banterous one.
Mark Hughes, who's clearly still annoyed about the handshake thing, has said it's not on for Pulis to call out one of my players, who obviously used to play for Pulis, and calling him a loser, which to me sounds far-fetched. I mean, there's no way I can imagine Pulis doing that. But then when you read Pulis's quote...
He's saying yes, that he did it.
I'll read the quote to you. He says, it's absolutely disgraceful. Firstly, the phone call I made to Ryan is private. And then, yes, I did mention losers, but I said it about people with innuendos making allegations that weren't true. When you lose a game of football, you can still be a winner by taking it on the chin and getting on with it. I did use the word loser, but I meant it in that way, and I actually said, Ryan, you've never been that. It's like,
how did Mark Hughes find out about this?
Yeah, how is this even happening?
He's called Hughes a loser. I'm absolutely loving this sort of like Cold War espionage battle between Stoke and West Brom.
Between
so
two
weird.
Of the hardest managers in the league.
It's going to happen. This is it. It's about to come to a head.
Hughes
has
been banging strong
for a long time.
Manager.
So if Pulis,
you could have control.
If Pulis is to be believed, right, it's like Mark Hughes has just said, oh, it's like me saying, I had a phone call with Pete earlier. And the phrase "fucking wanker" was used.
Mm-hmm.
It could mean anything.
Yeah.
I could
that's
say
what it usually calls me.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, it just so happens in this particular match. I do think Pete's a fucking wanker, but it wouldn't necessarily be the case.
That's what I was doing while you were on the phone.
It's just a very odd situation. Like Shawcross has reported back to Hughes. Then,
yeah, so weird.
Now I reckon Hughes makes them Well, play all their messages on loudspeaker.
He's got all of it. He waits until they fall asleep in the sauna, and they get and he gets their fingers and puts them on their mobile phones in the sauna to unlock them
in the sauna.
Falling asleep in the sauna with Pete Donaldson.
You never fall asleep in the sauna.
Do phones work in the sauna? It's too steamy, isn't it?
He could bring the phone in with him and then out of the kit bag and then put. That's how I would do it anyway.
Oh, what a tangled web you're weaving there.
I really wish you were a professional footballer. Yeah. Just in the off-field shenanigans. But it's great, though. The two very, very bruising Welshmen going at it.
A football player who once played under Hughes told me that Mark Hughes is nothing like you imagine him in when you see him on TV. He's very, very quiet. He doesn't really look you in the eye. He talks to you. It's very difficult to get one-on-one time with him. So make of that what you will.
Is it the same with Poulis? Probably not.
I don't know.
We're going to go to the Championship after this.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that. Hashtag travel.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Now, do not dare forget that this Friday, the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out. And we've got some news about our Bet of the Week, Luke.
Yeah, James Holland, the first listener to successfully deliver a Bet of the Week and raising some money for Prostate Cancer UK. So well done to him.
Mm. Remind everybody what the bet was.
It was a Swansea to beat Leicester 2-0, which I did 2-0, of course, so that pays out.
What a soothsayer he is.
I know. Listen, you say that, Jim, we're doing Winner Stays On, so he's up this week as well, so he gets one wrong. So he's
imagine if he just goes on a Leicester-style collection of results.
That'd be fantastic.
They'll never losers.
They'll call him the Almanac.
Yeah, old Leicester, not current.
No. Leicester.
Yeah, so James will be back in touch with another bet for Friday show, hopefully, and we can raise some more money for charity. So well done to him.
Nice one, James.
And well done to us for facilitating it.
No, we did nothing.
The Championship, that is getting very, very saucy indeed. Mitro scored and Newcastle are back on top.
Back on the top of the league.
The Raffolution.
It was a lovely poacher's goal. The best part of the whole thing was Rafa Benitez subbed him at half-time to protect himself and others. he scored just before half-time, rewarded with a substitution.
Yeah, perhaps he should have been sent off for a challenge on the keeper before he scored.
I don't think... Right, look, I'm willing to admit every single time that he said shit, and every time he barreled into a defender or a midfielder, he would always have a cheeky look and sort of go, where's his neck?
Or goalkeeper.
Where can I jam my elbow?
He already got booked for repeated fouls, didn't he?
Yeah. But the actual stamp itself, I think he was going too fast to know where anybody's foot was. I didn't think it was a stamp on that occasion. I'm willing to admit that he's a nightmare. I'm willing to admit that he's actually quite bad at football at times.
Subbed off at half time to protect himself and others. I'm only slightly paraphrasing Benitez there when I say that.
But anyone who gets booked for persistent fouling, I mean, that is seldom do you actually see a yellow dished out for that.
I've had that loaded when I played football.
but you weren't trying to foul.
Even if he hasn't meant it, even if he hasn't meant it, it's really clumsy. That shouldn't come into it, surely.
I think I was just a bit annoyed by Don Goodman's core commentary.
Oh, you were fuming about this.
I've never heard such a one-sided... put it away.
He played for Wolves, didn't he?
He played for Wolves and he played for Sunderland.
Yeah.
Now, that's not narrative.
What's Sunderland got to do with it?
What's Sunderland got to do with it?
Why did you go cockney then?
Who's that guy who's bringing the black cats into this?
He's the Paul Clement in me, mate.
Normally I'd like to support you here, but you deserve this.
Did I? Get yourself some lovely grapes for a pan.
Is
he Paul Clement or is
he
Kim Sherwood? A foot in both camps, I'd like to
think. I like Don Goodman. And
met him? Was he nice to you once?
I saw him play. I think it was for Doncaster Rovers once.
Pathetic.
Don for the Dons.
Exactly, yeah.
But I don't mind Don Goodman. I think the reason... And I'll tell you why...
Why don't you have a go at him as
no,
well?
No, I'll tell you why I don't...
He was so one-sided, it was unbelievable.
I'm going to qualify this by saying the reason I have a bit of affection for Don Goodman is because I get the impression when it comes to Sky's coverage of lower league football, and the Championship obviously isn't too bad, but he does a lot of the lower league stuff as well. He's got a lot of enthusiasm for it.
Yeah.
I get the impression where a lot of the commentators and co-commentators...
They sort of hold their nose
they don't really want me doing it. So I quite like that aspect of it. But I have to agree, from what I could make out, I only saw part of the game, he was very, very one-sided, very, very one-eyed.
Speaking about the Championship coverage on Sky, I think Kelly Case has got the best table on television.
I haven't seen it. I can't picture it.
It's like if you had to make a contact lens for an alien... It's that. So space age. It's fantastic. I want it in my house.
Yeah.
It wouldn't fit my house. Tiny.
No, indeed. But... Yeah. I mean, your imagery is quite fantastic.
Have you got a table in your house? You haven't even got a table in your house, have you?
I've got a book that turns into a kind of chair / table.
Please, everyone, please do not comment on that. Just leave it.
Concertina's round, and then you put like a little... surface on it, and they call it Bucknicher.
Norwich hammered Nottingham Forest.
Thank you.
They did, yeah. In short style.
Johnny Housen.
Beauty of a volley.
You will not see a better
Zidane-esque.
Volley.
It was absolutely.
It was all of it. It was the best of the volley.
It was just, when you say volley, unleashed like that, the curves in the air.
Yeah.
Yes.
The way it smashes into the net.
There were three long-range screamers in that goal, in that game.
You don't normally get one.
No.
That's true, yeah.
It has to be said, Forest, their fans won't thank me for saying this, but they're in disarray.
Have they got Ross McCormack up front? They scored.
They've won.
He was giving it the big one with the crowd. He was telling everyone to shut up. And he's like, you're 4-1 down.
Yeah. Well, you do realise...
It's good to see you at your house.
You do realise the stories that have circulated around you recently.
Yeah, it's chaos down there.
Good to see you out your house.
Forest are only 7 points off relegation. They've won three of their last five, but the turnover of players down there is massive. The ownership is a shambles. They've obviously just sold their best player, Henry Lansbury, to Aston Villa for fairly small beer. Well, given the money, you're probably going to come on to this in a minute, but given the money that Villa are chucking around, I mean, it's fairly small beer for Henry Lansbury. I think Villa have spent £40 million since they're relegated.
£40 million, and they haven't won since Boxing Day.
No,
Aston Villa. Because we thought Brucey, when he came in, the results improved. But they've lost five of their last six. They are struggling.
They're not in 16th.
They've got no chance of making the playoffs. No chance. Yeah.
No way. Right, should we go abroad before we go to the highlights of the week? Let's go to the Netherlands. Some of you would have seen this. One of the most unsportsmanlike displays we've ever seen.
This is brilliant.
Between Ajax and Sparta Rotterdam, Joel Veltman had the ball out wide for Ajax. And his teammate was down with an injury. Now, often we see when the opposition are coming forward and there's a teammate down, you point to the teammate and then the opposition kick out the ball. Or if it's one of your own teammates, sometimes they'll do the honourable thing or whatever. He signalled to the defender that his teammate was on the ground, injured, which personally I don't really get, because the defender's thinking, well, you're the one with the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kick it out if your man's injured. But the defender did look round and see, and then off went Veltman down the wing.
Well, no, but that was the exact dummy, wasn't it? Don't worry, I'm going to kick it out. Ah, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
It was so wicked.
I thought it was horrific.
I thought it was brilliant.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was very clever.
I love it.
I thought it threatened to undermine the very fabric of the game. We all hold dear.
The fabric. Oh,
blimey.
It was unbecoming for an Ajax footballer.
Not good enough for a player of a club of that standing.
But it was really funny. I think we're forgetting that.
So which club would that be okay at?
Arsenal.
But
only because Jim says that. No. Well, listen, there are clubs. I don't think anyone should be doing it. I think that would That would shame a Sunday league side, actually. If you were doing that at Sunday...
You'd be in trouble in Sunday league.
Yeah, you'd get... I'll tell you what, the reason it's snidey is because Joel Veltman knows he's afforded all the security and the safety of a top-flight game. If you did that in the Sunday league game, you'd get your legs broken.
You would.
Yeah.
But that would be seen as okay.
I don't endorse that either, by the way.
No,
the team
not.
That I usually play for, I've only played spottily, let's say, over the past couple of seasons, but they had a cup match where they had to win by 5 goals for some coefficient reason.
Put you up front, did they?
No, I wasn't playing, but it was playing, and he said that the team realised that they weren't going to win because they were 4-0 down, so they started to try and get the match abandoned because that's a 3-0.
Because
they had to win by 5 goals.
What they do is try and get it abandoned?
Just kicking everyone.
That is naughty.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Just great idea. Yeah.
Great tricks.
Indeed. Let's move on to the highlights of the week.
Yeah, I've got some highlights. I've started calling them highlights of the weekend now.
Oh, yeah.
I think it works a bit better, I think. Because we're looking ahead to the weekend and highlights of the weekend, I think, works nicely.
Wonderful.
We talked about James Holland and his successful bet of the week, so well on to him. A few people mentioning Matt Derbyshire. Remember him, striker? Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
He's banging in the goals now for Ammonia in Nicosia in Cyprus. Not Ammonia. Right. I knew you'd say something about that, Pete.
I'd never said a thing.
I think it was... How do you pronounce it? Nicosia?
I think it's Ammonia Nicosia, I think. Anyway, he's got 18 in 21 so far this season. He's only 30 years old.
And
so,
who's the manager?
I don't know.
John Carver.
Is it really? Oh, yeah, it is. You're right. Absolutely right.
Big John Carver.
Yeah, did Tamori Kitsbar used to manage them as well?
Possibly.
Oh, no, he was Famagusta, wasn't he? He was Famagusta.
Yeah, he got his side into the Champions League, did he, Kitsbar?
Yeah, and then did he manage the national team? Or I gone insane?
Let's just completely keep suggesting stuff.
But Carver is the manager.
Did he go into space? Did he jump out a big balloon?
Doesn't he have his own chain of ice cream?
He certainly does. I like that about Carver being there, because obviously he's had a terrible time at Newcastle. You think to yourself, poor guy. And then when you see Carver, there's some pictures of him in the sunshine having a nice time linking up with a player like Derbyshire. They're doing okay. I think they're sort of fourth or fifth in the league. You just think, yeah, that's nice.
Could be worse, couldn't it?
It's nice.
It's the equivalent of like going and living in Spain to retire, isn't it?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
No more, but you still have a job.
In a post-Brexit environment, Jim, that won't be possible anymore.
It just reminds me of Trump's sort of big horrible speech where he said, when they export their people, they don't export their best and brightest.
What, John Carver?
John Carver. Yes. We don't do it either.
I saw John Carver riding the bike with a plastic bag on the handlebars along the Thames about 6 months ago.
Mm. Yeah, we did mention this.
And he popped a wheelie and went,
Pete's made that up. he didn't do any wheelie. Anyway, Steve Davis got in touch saying, my highlight was having to substitute one of my under-7 players because he was freaked out at the amount of mud on his boot. I tried to bring a sub on only for him to tell me he won't come on because it's too cold to take his hoodie off. That's quite cute, I thought.
Yeah.
He fired that up with #grassroots, #future of the game. I've got one here, chaps, which is probably going to be very disappointing for you all to hear. It's just one of those things, I'm afraid. Do you remember Tobias Liljeblad from last week?
Yes.
Yeah, about Linford Grimes, the great...
I think I said Liljeblad. Okay. That's how you pronounce it.
Linford Grimes, the great pre-war striker, of course.
Yeah.
He's got in touch again, I'm sad to say.
And he says,
my highlight of the week was the kind listener Jeremy Howard, who stopped mid-traffic to hear my name properly and when getting home, finding me on Facebook to tell me that Linford Grimes doesn't exist, but Linvoy Primus does. Top class. Jeremy Howard, you are an enemy of this show.
Yeah. Jeremy Coward.
Yeah, exactly, Jim. Jeremy Howard, I never want to hear your name uttered on this show again.
Maybe you should try some joining in, Jeremy.
Because you've lied. You've lied to Tobias there.
You have lied. Who the hell is Linvoy Primus?
You've
sound like a transformer, you dick.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Jeremy? Trying to show off with made up facts. Anyway,
Jeremy,
fake news, yeah.
Jeremy, you're with on it.
Yeah. Sam Thompson, he says, this is more of a low light, but the realisation that Michael Owen is on course to make one of the greatest shouts of recent times, having said last season that Leicester could easily get relegated the season after winning the title. He goes on to say everyone laughed at him at the time, but I don't know if that's true. I think a lot of people were saying the same thing.
I said bottom half.
If you are making the same prediction as Michael Owen and Pete Donaldson, you probably are in a bit of a shit state.
As we know on this show, even a stopped clock occasionally finds a nut.
Yeah, indeed. Matt Tilby, Shanghai Shenhua, who paid Carlos Tevez close to $1 million Aussie dollars a week, lost 2-0 in that Asian Champions League qualifier to my home team, Brisbane Roar. 6 months ago, Brisbane couldn't even pay their electrical bill and struggled to pay their players on time. Now there's a chance that Shanghai coach Gus Poyet might be removed for not making the Champions League. He's coached one game.
My goodness.
Here's hoping he's not fired live on TV again like he was on that day. And I'll finish up with Malcolm Walker, who pointed out this tweet from Lucas Labour, which is great. You mentioned it earlier. I was going to bring it up then, but I thought I'd leave it for now. He says, Lucas Labour with the sickest Twitter burn of the weekend. Joseph Musker on Twitter said, I pray Lucas doesn't start at centre-back tomorrow. To which Lucas Labour replied, I can see you want a proper Liverpool fan. Good night. Good night.
Yeah,
good night. Sent it at 12:18 a.m. as well.
The punter in question went back, oh, I'm so sorry, I just like it.
Did he?
He should support the team instead of wishing that people don't play football.
Oh, I agree with Lucas. Yeah,
and Lucas was a part of a clean sheet against a very good side.
I don't agree with Lucas tweeting at post midnight the night before a match. I will put that out there. Because, you know, it's important to get your sleep.
Maybe he's loading carbs.
Maybe he is.
Could be.
We all are.
My highlight was Fernando Torres' goal for Atletico Madrid.
Beauty.
That was lovely,
wasn't it? Check that out. It was a great game. Carrasco scored a great one as well.
I haven't seen
not
it.
Not as good as that one. It was a self jimmied up overhead kick.
Sounds to me like foreign muck.
Speaking of which, a slight sort of, but this is a good one, corrections and clarifications section on the show. My good mate Nick, who lives out in Argentina, corrected me because when I said about Pete throwing toilet roll like they do in South American football matches, in Argentina, they don't actually throw toilet roll in
toilets.
No, kitchen roll.
No, get this. They get, you know, like in a till in a shop with the
receipts. Oh,
yeah. Right. They throw that because it goes further and it's
heavier. It's heavier.
Oh my god,
nice. Makes sense.
Professionals.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Yeah,
love a bit of that, me.
I enjoyed Leighton Baines making a foul throw but then clearing the ball off the line in the next phase of play. I like that. That's a ridiculous cock up for a professional footballer to make, but to then dig it out.
True.
Fair play.
That's excellent stuff. Any more?
Let's get out of it, guys.
Nothing.
We're done. Do remember, ladies and gentlemen, to subscribe to the weekly mail shot that goes out every Friday. TheFootballRamble.com is where you can subscribe. Thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble. It's been a pleasure. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later, haters.
And goodbye from me, lovers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen,
Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.